So this lady gets on crizotinib, she does great on it, then what?
So interestingly, she progressed after 15 months, and she literally progressed the month that alectinib came on the market for crizotinib failure. So her timing was impeccable. She went on alectinib, which she tolerated also quite well, had about 10 months of disease response and really good quality of life. And then on restaging scans, actually had development of bilateral adnexal masses, kind of an unusual site of metastasis, and nowhere else. So odd enough, you know, whenever there's kind of an oligometastatic situation, I'm always kind of interested in making sure and actually offering a local therapy. We wound up sending her to our gyn-onc colleagues, and they did elect to resect those masses, which did reveal ALK-positive metastatic lung adenocarcinoma. But unfortunately, about a month later, she had much more widespread abdominal progression, as well as some lymph nodes growing in the chest. So they really had realized that alectinib had come to its end, and it was time to move on to the next line of therapy.
That's really interesting, though, about the adnexal mets. That's unusual. So what happened next, and where's this lady now?
Right. So I think we're in this interesting time where we know there are so many ALK inhibitors on deck. This progression happened shortly before brigatinib was approved, which is, I think, a reasonable agent to use, but we kind of felt like there was bulky enough disease. We wanted a response. We knew she was chemosensitive. We did decide to start chemotherapy, but pending, what I'm doing is actually sending that adnexal mass pathology to see if we can identify any ALK resistance mutations. Now, I know this hasn't kind of broken through to standard of care, but as we think about sequencing the ALK inhibitors, and when I need a response, I kind of almost want to make sure that one of the resistance mechanisms is addressed by, say, brigatinib, or in the future, maybe lorlatinib. But I'm actually hoping that I can get a chemo response and give me time to choose the next line of therapy. But I think this idea is interesting, where right now, alectinib first line, on progression on alectinib, there are other drugs on the market, but can we actually do precision medicine to figure out which of these bevy of ALK inhibitors is right? One of our colleagues calls it a Sanford guide. You know, from a residency, you use the Sanford guide for antimicrobial resistance. You kind of look down the chart, look across, and choose your agent. I think we can all envision a day when you do a repeat biopsy or even liquid biopsy, figure out how ALK has morphed, and choose the drug on the list that hits that best. Lorlatinib hits G1202R, which is kind of the dominant resistance mechanism, but there are many others, and so maybe actually purposefully choosing drugs is appropriate. For her, I think the science is too far ahead of her, so I did choose to do chemo next, but I am kind of profiling that tumor and seeing if it might inform which ALK TKI I use next.
That's really fascinating. We're going to talk in a second about plasma testing with EGFR. What about plasma testing with ALK and these resistance mechanisms?
Yeah, it's coming along. You know, I think that it's just amazing how quickly this technology has progressed. I still have not been as impressed by the fidelity of ALK catches on the liquid biopsies. So I think month by month, we're seeing better results. I still prefer for my ALK patients, for the rearrangement patients, I should say, both ALK and ROS, I still prefer tissue biopsy, but I am seeing some of the panels come through with concordant ALK initial mutations and ALK resistance mutations. So it's kind of exciting.